Right now, let's get into action with our broadcast partners, bringing to these microphones Ken Timmerman. And Ken, we're excited about what's going on as it relates to what's happening in the world. Excited, I say that term candidly because of the fact that it seemingly is setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. But talk to us, if you will. I guess the number one focus this time in history today is going to be the Ukraine. Looks like they may have an agreement. We don't know. They've said that a couple of times. It's crazy there in the Ukraine.
Things are very violent. 70 people died on Thursday this week. It was the highest death toll in this current round of disturbances. However, the President Yanukovych reportedly signed an agreement with the opposition on Friday. We'll have to see how that whether that holds or not. But there is some hope that the that a political agreement to bring opposition leaders into the government will be able to quell some of the violence.
Yes, and as you said, we have to wait and see how that all does work out, since it's been changing almost moment to moment. And that very tragic situation there in the Ukraine. Let's focus on Iran for a moment, actually focusing on Vienna, where the Iranians and the world leaders, the P5 plus one, have been there discussing the nuclear situation in Iran. Looks like they have agreed to some type of a framework. They're going to meet in about a month now. Is it developing or is it still the status quo?
Well, the Iranians have, on paper, agreed to significant demands of the international community. They have not agreed to give up uranium enrichment. And this has got Israel and Israel's close allies. By the way, the United States is no longer one of those under Barack Obama. But it's got Israel and its close allies very concerned. But the Iranians are playing the game. They have said they will not install new centrifuges. They have provided design information of the heavy water plutonium production reactor at Arak, which is close to the Iraqi border. And they have agreed to allow inspectors in to see what's going on. Now, these are good things if they are respected, given Iran's track record over the past 25 years of violating every single agreement it's ever signed. We're just going to have to wait and see.
Well, and at the same time, I've got to report that out of Tehran, Iran, the president of the country, Rouhani, has made this statement in association with a couple of Palestinian leaders that have visited Iran within the last couple of weeks, that Jerusalem should be liberated from Israel and given to the Palestinian people. Now, he's in the face of Israel every way he possibly can. Seems like he's taunting Israel, trying to get them to come after him.
Well, it's quite extraordinary, isn't it? And the so-called moderates, President Rouhani, coming out once again and talking about violence against the capital of the state of Israel, separating the capital of the state of Israel from the state. And frankly, Jimmy, it's extraordinary to me that people like Secretary of State John Kerry or Vice President Biden could still think of Rouhani as a so-called moderate.
It does with the statements he's making and with the actions the Iranians seem to be taking as it relates to this nuclear deal, which I think there's a 6-month period of time I still have questioned whether it's ever going to come together. Hey, let's focus on Turkey just a moment. We've talked about Turkey in the past, Tayyip Erdogan, with a desire to be the pan-Islamic leader. And, you know, for a long time, Turkey was somewhat of a democratic experiment. Erdogan came to power through the democratic process, and it looked like everything was going great there, but it now seems like he's moving in another direction, as he was during the time of his position as mayor of Istanbul. He's becoming very Islamic, and it looks like that's the direction Turkey's headed.
Well, that's right, and this has been a gradual move over the past 10 years, where through a series of reforms that he's gotten through parliament, he has changed the judicial structure of Turkey. For example, now he's allowed parliament essentially to stack the courts with as many judges as they can possibly nominate, and those judges are then determining what is legal, what is not legal, who should remain in prison or not. They have imprisoned virtually the entire general staff of the Turkish armed forces over the past 3 years. So there's been a crackdown on secular society in Turkey and an Islamization of Turkey. To my view, the most ironic development here is the recent fight between Erdogan and his erstwhile ally, Fethullah Gulen, who's based here in the United States. And they are both Islamists, different flavors of Islamism, if you will, but they're both Islamists, and yet they are now at loggerheads with each other. Gulen and his people, who are in the judiciary, the prosecutors, and you and I have talked about this in recent weeks, they have accused Erdogan and some of his people of corruption. So Erdogan has fired back by relieving those prosecutors of duty and trying to appoint people who are more favorable to him. So yes, Turkey is lost, and I've seen this coming in for a number of years. Erdogan is the creeping Islamization that he has been promoting, but now he's going faster and faster. I think the gloves are off, and he realizes that he's in the final stretch.
Well, a very interesting development to me has been the fact that he is endeavoring to try to renew ties or strengthen ties with the Iranians, making a visit over there, and that's an Islamic Republic, which it seems Erdogan wants to set up there in Turkey. But that relationship is more evidence that he's quickly moving in that direction.
Well, that's true, and there had been some tension with Iran recently, especially over Syria. They had taken opposite sides in the Syrian civil war, and I think now they've more or less agreed to disagree on that, and both the Iranians and the Turks have backed off a little bit their positions in Syria. You have Hezbollah, who is Iran's key ally, a proxy, if you wish, in Syria, has said that they would be willing to withdraw from Syria, but of course only if everybody else does first. So it's not much of an offer from Hezbollah's part, but at least it shows that the Iranians are eager to find some kind of face-saving means of ending their proxy involvement in the Syrian civil war and ending Turkey's, so they can get back together with Turkey. Turkey's a major, major economic partner of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And they don't want to risk that, especially as Turkey is becoming increasingly assertive and Islamist.
Well, let me just explain for those eavesdropping on the conversation. Nasrallah, who heads up Hezbollah, they're located, headquartered in southern Lebanon, with Action and all of his troops over there in Syria, assisting Bashar Assad in the civil war that's going on. He said that Hezbollah would withdraw if the Arabs would withdraw. Let me just remind everybody, there's about 23 Arab states in the Middle East, and they are designated Arab states because they speak the Arabic language and their religion is Islam. But there's other nations that are Islamic as well, Turkey being one of them, Indonesia, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iran. These are not Arab states. They are Islamic states of one shade or the other, Shiite or Sunni. Now, having said that, let me ask you this then, Ken. The Arab leaders of Al-Qaeda and the other terrorist organizations, basically, the radical Islamists that are in there in Syria, a part of this civil war, I don't think they have any idea of withdrawing. They want to bring down Bashar Assad.
Well, that's absolutely correct. And so I don't have a great deal of optimism that this is going to lead to anything. But nevertheless, it is a negotiating ploy on the part of the Iranians. It certainly will fool some of the people some of the time.
You know, we say often after any conversation that we have, we'll just have to wait and see what is going to develop, because in the Middle East and in the regions of the world where the activities we report about are happening, they are changing really by the moment. That's the reason that we, when we can, get a hold of Ken Timmerman to have him behind these microphones. Very important that we spend time with Ken. Ken, thank you so very much, my good friend. We'll talk again next week.
Jimmy, thank you, and God bless.